This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
Okay, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Title is, it says, love and hatred for fellow believers. For we know that we have come to him and keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you've heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Just say, ooh, that's a tough one. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us through your word, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. And this is one of those tough sections of scripture when you read it, because oftentimes in our world today, particularly one of the things that we noticed moving from Europe to America in the last year in particular, there's a lot of language about loving people and how people hate people, especially in America today. And when you read this passage, you look at it, and we can sometimes narrow this down to people that we know. You can look at this and just say, love for other people, love for believers. I took some time, because we lived in a Greek-speaking world, to actually read this passage in Greek, which is pretty cool. That's the language that the New Testament was written in, which is pretty awesome that we can kind of look back and say that. And so in the original Greek, it just talks about loving your brother. It's a very general term that can mean someone who is a believer, that can mean someone who you just connect with and say, oh, you're my brother, almost even a neighborly context of who that person is. And so when we read this, we can look at people and we are defined as Christians on how we love one another. And when you read through the writings of John, John is always going to center around, he's like the feeling and emotion guy in the New Testament, right? He's the one who Jesus loved. He's the person who just, he writes about this stuff. And when you look at this, and if you were to boil down this passage in a quick 2-second thought, it would be this, that when people look at you, if you love people that are around you, then they're going to know that light is in you. But if you have hatred towards people, there's darkness inside of you. And I think that we are in a cross-section of the world where we live in Europe. We have a very secularized community. And when I break down what secularized community means, it's this. When we talk to a Greek, whether it's in Greece or whether it's in Cyprus, they have a very orthodox banner of who they are. So they would say, we're Orthodox, which means we're Christians. We're not Hindus. We're not Muslims. We're Christians because this is an Orthodox culture. And if you were to talk to someone today in the streets of Thessaloniki, or you talk to someone today on the island of Cyprus, or you go to Athens and say, hey, are you a Christian? They would be like, of course I'm a Christian. I'm Orthodox, but I'm also atheist. And you're like, what? So this is where this banner of who a Christian is and how a Christian lives begins to dissect the personalities of who we are. Because when we look at what a Christian's supposed to be, who are these people? It's as the Bible says, we're people who are supposed to do justly. We're supposed to be people who walk humbly. We're supposed to be people who love mercy. And I believe this, that as the church in America faces a more and more secularized world that we live in today, we need to be a church where the community in the world looks at us and they know us more for the things that we're for rather than the things that we're against. As community and as our world looks at the church and they say, oh, you can't do this and you don't do this, we need to be people that represent and show the love of God that's in our lives. In the video we talked about our church, Zoe Church, being an active church, being a church that shows the secularized community how much we love God by touching marginalized people that are in our lives. And I've got a couple of points that I want to go through this morning that I think that can help us. And so the first one is this, when you read through this passage, one of the things that it says is to be a Christian in the light, we need to live how Jesus lived. And there's a story in Luke chapter 10 where this really smart guy, he's a leader of the law. He's someone who knew religious ideology really well. He knew his scriptures really well. And he came to Jesus. He's trying to trick him. He said, hey, what are the most important commandments? What are the things that I'm supposed to follow? And Jesus just said, well, you know, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you take this passage, when John is saying to live how Jesus lived, those are people that live in the light, then we need to look at that in our lives and say, are we people that love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And that's actually the first, and I would say almost easier part of the equation. It's easy to get into a place like this. Your worship was awesome this morning. You had a girl on the bass. Like, I always love that. That's super cool. Team is great. You're up there. We're worshiping God. We're loving Him. We're giving to kingdom builders, which is amazing. So we're showing that we're loving God with our heart, our soul, our strength, the work that we're putting in the week. We're giving that, we're doing all these things to build the kingdom of God. But then this is where it gets tough, is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is where it gets difficult to love someone across the pew or across the aisle or across the street or in our neighborhood or across the cubicle in our workplace, to love another human that almost doesn't necessarily deserve it, right? The story of missions, oftentimes when we get up here, we've got stories that we can tell, all these amazing moments that happen, but almost every single person that chooses to live cross-culturally, there will be betrayal, there'll be disappointment, there'll be moments where very difficult things are going to happen to you, where you have to wrestle on the inside to say, how would Jesus show himself? How do I show myself as a person of light in a world full of darkness? And that is loving the person that is around you. That is loving your neighbor. That is loving your brother. That is showing someone who says, I'm going to betray, showing them that I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to have discord towards you, because when there's hate and there's discord towards a brother or sister in the church or outside of the church, then that means that we're living in darkness, not in the light. And it's so easy. Sometimes you could say, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what happened in my personal scenario. If I were to sit down and have a coffee with you and we were to share notes on betrayals or share notes on reasons why we shouldn't like this person or that person, we probably have a pretty good list between both of us, right? We've all had moments. That's just being part of planet Earth. That's part of being put on this world, is saying things are going to happen to you. But how do we be a person that models light when there's darkness all around us? Second thought on this is who is my neighbor? So who is my neighbor? Who is the person that's next to me that I'm supposed to display light towards to the world that's around me? And I think that one of the things that we realize very quickly in building a church in a part of the world where there is not really much church in existence. So to give you context this morning, on the island of Cyprus, we do not have an Assemblies of God church for 1 million people. It's pretty large. Group of people that don't have a church. In Greece, we have a 0.004% evangelical presence in the entire nation, which is pretty small. Probably here in Tulsa, you're in the 30s or 40s or 50%. People would say, hey, I identify at some point as an evangelical Christian, or believe that that is the way that we should express and believe the way that we should live with God. And so if people do not know who we are, how do we show and model Christ? And that is to love people, when really the story should be, we shouldn't love them. We should hate them because of the things they've done towards us or the ideologies that are different. When you read this story of who is my neighbor, when Jesus was asked the commands, he said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And the teacher at this point just says, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus, I love Jesus because he will just give this crazy, little curveball and say, well, here you go. So he says, well, the neighbor is basically like this. There's this guy, he was walking down from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And while he's on this road, he gets beaten by robbers. And so he's sitting there, this Jewish guy, he's half dead, beaten by robbers. And so three people are going to walk by. And this is the teaching style of the day, where there's always going to be three points, kind of like how preachers do on Sunday mornings here. You know, when the third point comes, you know, you're almost ready to go and hit lunch. And so people are waiting. They get the first story. The first guy comes up and it's a priest. walks, sees this guy. And this is one of the unique things that happens in the story, because when the priest, we all read this and we say, well, sure, the religious guy should have reached the guy on the ground, but there was conflict that was happening here, because back in the religious Hebrew day, this priest, if he were to help someone who is beaten and bleeding and half dead or possibly dead in this scenario, then he would render himself unclean. So he had gone to Jerusalem. He had gone in his ceremonial washings. He had taken the time to prepare himself, and then he was going to go do ministry in the next location. So in a practical sense, if this priest had helped him, the man on the road, and if he were dead, then he would make himself unclean, and then he would have to go back to Jerusalem. He would have to do all the ceremonial washings, probably take about a week or 10 days. Then he'd have to go back down to Jericho, which would then again take a few more days. And so he was probably thinking logically in his mind, if I help this one man, then I'm for the next probably 14 days, I'm out of commission to do the ministry that I'm supposed to do. So the widows that I'm feeding, the orphans that I'm feeding, the people that I'm trying to touch, I can't do much good to them because then I'm actually unclean. So he's probably thinking in his mind, like, what I've got to do that. And so I think sometimes we're really critical of the priest in the story, but we don't realize that he's weighing it out. He's saying, I'm not going to do this to this one guy because then there's more people on the other side. He's creating margin and looking at that. So then the Levite walks down. Levite would have been a religious person. He would have been part of the religious tribe. And he's just going to follow suit. Well, if the priest isn't going to help him, I'm not going to help him, right? So if we're going down the side of the road and there's someone broken down and you're following Pastor Chris, and if Pastor Chris isn't going to help him, well, why should I, right? I mean, he's already set the example. And then they're waiting for point number three so then they can go to lunch. And so point three comes, and it's just like blows their mind. It's the Samaritan. So Samaritan, someone that they would have hated in the day. So to give you kind of context, they're people that did not get along. They hate each other. So it'd be like someone like the leader of the Black Lives Matters group is broken down on the side of the highway. And then you've got the leader of the Ku Klux Klan that comes and helps and fixes his tire, right? This is kind of what's happening in this story here. You've got two total opposites that shouldn't like each other. So the Samaritan helps this Jewish guy on the side of the road, creates opportunity for him to live, brings him to the inn, pays for it, and then just Jesus ends, and he's like, you know, the person who loves his neighbor is someone who shows mercy. Someone who shows mercy. And I love this because this is basically, it's not saying he's right, it's not saying he's wrong, he's just saying you showed mercy to someone, and there's no black and white to this. And I think this is one of the problems that we run into when we're Christians, is we try to look through, we try to sift through who is right and who is wrong in the eyes of God, when at the end of the day, we're called to just be people to show mercy. This is where the light of God begins to shine in our lives, when we show mercy regardless of saying I'm right or I'm wrong. So in Europe, we have probably one of the most complicated social and political issues that happen in our world in 2015 during the refugee crisis. In 2015, in the months from September to January of 2016, we had 1.2 million refugees from the Middle East come into Greece, right in our backyard, about 40 minutes away, going on into Central Europe and other parts. And I don't need to tell you that that's a complicated political issue. I don't need to tell you that there's charge in that. There's charge in those things. But you have to look at this and say, what am I called to do as a Christian when it comes to loving my brother, when it comes to loving the person? You can't get more of an opposite than an evangelical American Christian connecting with a Muslim from a country like Iraq or Iran, correct? I mean, this is like the stuff that movies are made out of. And so when we were put in this situation, we felt really called that we are supposed to be people to show mercy and to shine light in the darkness. Now, point number three, and this is kind of where we get kind of towards the end here, we share a few thoughts and ideas, is I don't want to be someone who's in the darkness. I don't want to do this. Now, if we read through this story, I want to live in the light, not in the darkness. I think every one of us could say, this is who I want to be. I want to be someone. When we read through this story, I don't want to be the person who's blinded. Because this is the ironic part of 1 John when he reads through this. He gets towards the end, and it's almost like there's people that assume that they're living in the light, but they're actually living in the darkness. And this is one of those moments you never want to be surprised with how you treat other people, for someday for the Lord to look at you and say, you know, you really lived in the darkness when you were called to live in the light. And this is when we have to take this soul-searching spirit inside of us and to lay our hearts and our arms out to the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, speak to me. Is there angst that I have towards another human or another person where I might be living in darkness instead of living in the light? Do I hold grievance towards a brother or sister in this church or in another location? Do I hold hatred or racism in my heart towards another human or another person? And I live in the darkness instead of in the light. I'm blinded by the way that I am. Now, I just throw that out there. I'm a guest speaker, so I can say things a little harder than Pastor Chris can. And that's the beauty of coming in one Sunday and then be able to believe. But I do want to share some thoughts with you that when you can show love to another person that's an opposite, there's a beauty in that. There's an individual that our family, we ran into in a refugee camp, and it's a picture of the four of us that are all together. You can throw this up, and it's a beautiful picture. We were actually in Vienna, Austria, and it was super cold. People think that Europe's warm. It's not. It's like cold. We were like a really cold day. And so we were just off in this moment. My wife was speaking at a women's conference in Vienna. And about a year earlier, we had met, this girl right here between the two ladies. And she is she's a refugee. She's from Afghanistan, lived in Iran her entire life. And she was part of the refugee migration. We became incredible friends with their family. They lived in Greece for about 9 months. We were part of their lives. We spent countless hours in their tent, countless hours hanging out with them. And then they were able to move on to Austria. My wife was speaking at a women's conference at one of our great churches in Vienna, which is super cool. And so we were going to go on this trip and visit. We're like, oh my gosh, we got to connect with this family while we're there. It was this really cool thing. You can take the photo off if you want. So when we went to Vienna, we made a little trek to their home. We walked in their house. Her mother was there. Her sister was there. Her brother was there. And it was probably one of the greatest reunion moments we've ever had before in our entire life, because it was just this family invited us into their home. That was a real home. They put so much food on the table. The four of us were there. We had my wife and then one of our Greek team members on in that photo. We were there. And there's so much food that we couldn't even think of eating it all. It was this beautiful moment. Just tears were flowing. Even I got choked up a little bit. It was this wonderful moment of reunification. We were then part of this women's conference, so we got to love it. We were part of the green room, which was really cool. So we have all these pastors, all these great Christians, leaders. There's about 1,000 women at this event. And then we have a Muslim that's part of the green room, which is just kind of, you know, one of those like funny things. She's wearing the hijab, like the whole thing. And everybody's like, who are you people? It's like, you're bringing this, like, this is like not supposed to quite happen. But, and then people are like, oh, that's awesome that you're taking someone from another faith. And she's sitting on the front row the whole time. It was this beautiful moment of just saying, hey, how can I love my neighbor? But one of the things that we prayed about her, there's a couple of ways that especially people in the Muslim faith come to Christ. It's they have three things that will happen for them to come to Christ. They have to be part of the equation. Number one, they get a dream or a vision. Number two, there's a miracle that happens. And number three, there's just kindness from a Christian. So we are praying over this young woman that God would give her a dream or a vision. So on the far left, to your left on that photo, is a girl named Dina. She's one of our Greek team members. She actually, somebody walked into our cafe. We had the opportunity to lead her to the Lord. She then became a part of our team. We sent her to CTS this past year. She's the first Greek to ever do theological work, which is really cool, and is getting married in about 10 days. And to an American, which is really cool. And they're going to do missions in Thailand, which is awesome. So to see her do that. But we're just really praying in the season, because we'd spent so much time in this refugee tent with this girl. And we just said, God, we want you to show light inside of the darkness. And so we prayed a very specific dream. God, we want you to show a dream to her, that you'd speak the truth of who you are. And so this dream was just simply this, is that this young woman who was from the Middle East, when she would go to sleep at night, she would see the three of us, Dina, my wife, and myself, that there'd be this huge cross that'd be right in the center of us, and that light would just come out of us. And out of that light, there'd be a voice from Jesus that would just say, the truth is in them, you need to follow this. And ironically, after we took her to this conference and we started to pray that God would give these dreams to her, she would start to get these dreams. She would send us messages on social media. She goes, I keep seeing dreams of you and Dina and Jamie. And it's just like, I just need to continue to hear the truth from you guys, which is a powerful moment. There's light that can be shown in darkness. And I just want to encourage you this morning that there might be an opposite person. I can't think of a more opposite person to hang out with than someone who's a Middle Eastern refugee with a Muslim background, with evangelical Christians who are designed to live in a country and minister to Greek Europeans, right? There's opposites that are happening. But when you can show love to someone, then you are showing the world that you do not live in darkness, but you live inside of the light. Maybe to hit this home as I kind of close, and maybe I can invite someone back up to the piano or one of the instruments. There was a moment that happened in our lives where we had a very, very close friend who was part of our church and part of what we were doing, that because of just some unique scenarios, there was a betrayal there that was deep and it was hurtful and one of the hardest seasons that we've ever had to walk through in our ministry time. But in showing love, in showing forgiveness, in showing that we care about them in the name of Jesus, there's a light that can be shown through that. And I'll tell you this, that in one of the darkest seasons that we've ever faced, in showing forgiveness, in showing mercy, we were able to show more of Jesus than we were able to show in any of our best days. I could get up this morning and share all these amazing stories of miracles happening, things happening, this and that and this and that. And it'd be like, we can just, rah, rah, this is amazing. God is amazing. But you know, when he spoke to people the deepest is when we were in the darkest moments of relational struggle with people. And this morning you might have one of the deepest, darkest relational struggles. Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it's with a sibling. Maybe you haven't talked with someone in your family for a few years because something that's happened. And in this passage in 1 John, it says that people who cannot forgive their brother and sister, people who cannot show mercy to that person, we are living in darkness and not in the light. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be someone who lives in darkness. I want to be someone who lives in the light. And it is sometimes one of the hardest things to do, to say, well, you don't know all the scenarios. You don't know how to forgive. You don't know how deep and dark those scenarios were. But I can tell you this, that the darker it was, the more light that will be shown through it when you can show forgiveness to that person. And this morning, I believe this, that our world, your workplace, your family will know the depth of your relationship with Jesus when they can see that you love the people that are around you, because that's where light will exist. So can we say a prayer this morning? Jesus, I just ask that you would enter this room. And maybe you're in this room this morning and you have a relational fracture that's happened. Maybe you have an ideology that you don't agree with right now. Maybe even just the idea of me talking about a refugee made you extremely uncomfortable. Maybe you've got a friend or family that you used to be best friends, and all of a sudden something happened and just haven't talked to him for a long time, and it's just confusing to people. And I just want to pray that the peace of God, that the love of God, that his light will just be everything in us, and that we won't be people of darkness. Can you, in just your own words, just say, God, I don't want to be someone in darkness. I don't want to be blinded by a relationship where there's unforgiveness. I don't want to be blinded by a blind spot in my life where I have darkness, where I want light to shine. And so, Lord, I just pray, even in my life, I pray, God, that every single one of us, as we just open up our hearts, as we let the searchlight of the Holy Spirit begin to shine in the corners and shine in the closets of our life, and maybe pull out and show some things that we just didn't even know that were in there. I just pray, God, that there be an anthem of forgiveness that we begin to start this morning. It's not something that begins in a moment and ends in a moment. It might be a year of process to finally get through that. But Lord, I pray that the process would start today. I pray that we would be known as people of light and not live in the darkness. And I pray for any single person in this room that might be living in the darkness and they just don't know. There's unforgiveness. They don't know. I pray, God, that you'd speak to them. I pray that we would be open to you, challenge our life. And Lord, I just lift up this morning to you the Mediterranean, the region of the world of Greece and Cyprus. I pray for just the millions of lost people that are in those nations that don't even have a clue of who you are. They are Christians, but they're atheists. I pray, Jesus, that you'd speak the truth and life to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.